this song's really spoken to me a lot. It's called The House of Miracles. Some of you may have heard it. I really felt God speak about both our church, which is obviously called the King's House, but also directly to us as a people, that this whole pandemic, what we've walked through, that the call in the song is to come alive, to allow God to touch you. And I really feel God wants to speak this morning. And I've been like, it's kind of like heavy on my chest because I've just felt what God wants to say. And I really want to be able to deliver that. But I really want you to listen to this song first and pray and ask God to open your hearts to what he wants to say.
This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. This resurrection power. Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over even the coldest grave. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. And we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Oh, I believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Oh, come alive. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Everything to the feet. feet of Jesus, everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
I've been really praying about what God wanted to say today, and recently I felt him to speak to me about revisiting something that I had a picture of quite a few years ago now, and it was about a house on the river. This was some time ago, but it was from a program called Grand Designs. I don't know if other people like Grand Designs, but every so often I watch it, and I was totally captivated by this story. And on this particular program, it showed a couple building a totally unique house and a UK pioneering first. So if the children are building Lego houses right now and Duplo houses, I want you to try and think of something really creative and really different if you can. And the thing about this house was they bought the land on an island in the River Thames, and the issue with the island was it regularly flooded. And as they so they had to design the house, a house that would handle that in a unique way. And some of the things, there's many, many things in that program, and it's on Channel 4, you might still be able to see it, that really caught my eye. But this was the thing that God was really made me revisit. Is that this couple were pioneers who invested everything they had into this house because of their desire to live on the banks of the river. And I just felt God talk to me then about a lot about the king's house being a house of God that was planted by the river and actually next to the banks of the river. And that actually I was reminded of Psalm 1:3 that says, like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. And the whole thing from Psalm 46 and Revelation 22 about a river that flows from the throne of God. And I felt that the king's house was a church that God wanted to be planted next to the river and for the river of God to flow through. And when I revisited this, I felt God speak actually again. And I felt him say, I actually want people to hear this morning that you too are a house that I want to flow through. You too are you too are on the banks of this river. And just this tremendous sense of him coming again in a powerful way. And I was thinking about, I was just going to go to the next bit here, about how it works. And one of the things about the river flooding this house is I found it quite funny, actually, because one of the guys commented that it had the DNA of a boat, this house. And I was thinking that actually Julian being leading the church here, actually to have a church with the DNA of a boat has to be quite a God thing. But one of the things about, so when the water floods into the house, it's actually got a wet dock, effectively, and the house lifts up on the foundations so that the house itself doesn't flood. It just lifts up and it goes up and down. And with the ebb and flow, really, of the river. So the house design worked with the river and they did not need to create any sort of flood defence. And that was just so key. And really what I wanted to say was I felt God say the word flood defences, actually, and as I was praying. And in the news, we now often see flood defences, don't we? And they are a good thing. They stop flooding and damage into people's houses, although it's a bit controversial now when we put flood defences in where the floods move to. But I really felt this from God. I felt him say, the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. And in God's kingdom, flooding is a good thing. The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. And in God's kingdom, flooding is a good thing. Flood defences are not. And the key point about the house design was that it worked with the river. It worked with the river. And there's one of the architects that was designing it said, actually, the key point about this house is that we're not fighting the river. We're working with the river. And when, you know, I saw that program, I felt it was a design and a blueprint for the king's house. But more recently, as I said, I felt God say, I want a people where the river flows freely into your foundations, where you're like that tree with your roots and your souls watered by heaven's river, and that we will survive through all things because no matter what, that tree prospers. And that even includes COVID. You know, God is with us even through COVID. We have our roots and foundations in the river that flows from the throne of God. And I felt God say that he wanted to talk about some flood defences and that stop God flooding your foundations and flooding your heart and flooding your soul, actually. And so you'll be glad to know, coming back to Nehemiah, because I know that Nehemiah is involved in this and we're basing it in Nehemiah. And I've been reading Nehemiah 13, verses 4 to 5. And there's a really interesting passage that might be less familiar, where the wall has been built and the temple has been built. And Nehemiah is not there, actually. He's gone back to be the cupbearer for the king. And it says this. Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah. I hope children as well will remember that he was the enemy, throwing insults and threats and all sorts of things when they were trying to build the wall. So the priest was closely associated with Tobiah, and I think that probably means that he was friends with him, and had provided Tobiah with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine and olive oil prescribed by the Levites, musicians and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. I was just really struck by that verse, and I was listening to a preach by Bill Johnson, and he said this, and I thought it was profound. He said that we need to be careful not to allow the enemy to dwell in a place that once was used for sacrifice. We need to be careful not to allow the enemy to dwell in a place that was once used for sacrifice. I was walking with Julian recently over the Tay Railway Bridge, and when you go across on the other side, there's maps. And where you're standing alongside the banks of this just incredible river, being by the Tay, it's such a powerful river. And yet there are small islands on the maps that have built up over years, where maybe a branch caught and then silts and slowly built up over a period of time, and soil, and then slowly things grew. And the interesting thing about it is around that island, the river becomes slow or stagnant, and rubbish collects, and it forms a barrier really to the fast flowing part of the river. And over the years, actually, it's almost bypassed that area. It really struck me that can be like that with our relationship with God. And I really felt him say, we allow flood defences to slowly build. And be careful not to allow the enemy to dwell in the place that once was used for sacrifice. And I really felt God, and I know this is just as me as well, but that there are times where, you know, there were times in my life where no sacrifice was too great for God. But as the years passed, that place maybe has become a forgotten room in your house where sins are, you know, are now allowed. You perhaps would not have tolerated those before. Perhaps money has become something you don't quite like to talk about or investigate. And lifestyle is an issue that, you know, once you would have laid it down. But actually, no, it's important now. And maybe as well, and I really felt this, that incredible desire for God that you've had in the past, that you need to hear his voice, that desire to walk with him, and that sacrifice that you'd put him first in all things. Maybe it's waned a little and you've settled for less and you don't ask him quite so much or choose to involve him quite so often. And I felt God say that some flood defences are built up over time. We don't even realise our values have changed, and suddenly a part of our life no longer has that fast flowing, vibrant river of God running through. And the area has become stagnant and slow flowing. Rubbish collects and sin lingers. where once you would have quickly got rid of it, thoughts remain, bad attitudes affect your thinking, and suddenly you don't hear his voice about certain things anymore. And as I was really pondering this, God then drew me deeper, really, I think, into this whole thing. And I was reading Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. I'll just read it out. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I'll tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" It's a bit of a challenging passage, isn't it? And often used actually about Christians negatively, to be honest. And it really struck me that these people were performing miracles, driving out demons, I mean, in his name. And yet he says, I never knew you. So it's possible to seem to be doing the right things, and yet God does not know us. And I really said to God, why does Jesus talk about knowing? What is it about knowing? And I really felt him say, many times we talk about knowing God better. You know, we want to know God better. We want to know who he is. We want to know him. Yeah, I felt Jesus was saying God wanted to know me better. God wanted to know us better. And it really struck me that it is possible for him not to know us, for us to be a stranger. And yet, doesn't it say in the Bible that God knows everything? I kind of argued with God a little bit on this. But I felt him say, and this is what I'm laying before you this morning, is what he's saying. And I would suggest to you that God has the ability to know everything. However, if you say to him, I don't want you to know me, or I don't want you to be in that part of me, I think there's also clearly potential for him to say, I never knew you. I would suggest that God honours your will to let him know you. He doesn't force his all-knowingness, if you like, on you. You can keep God from knowing you if you want to. In Psalm 139, David is a man after God's heart. You know, he knew God's heart, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." There's something so powerful about choosing to ask God to know you, choosing to be incredibly real with God, to be incredibly transparent and have absolutely nothing hidden. God is concerned about heart, his heart. Not head, not concepts, it's heart. He wants to know you. The issue is that God waits for an invitation. And sometimes we pray the prayer and we become a Christian, and that I understand all of that. And children, often you've asked Jesus into your life, but it's so much more. God stands at the door and says, I want to know you. He doesn't want robots. He wants you to choose to know him, to ask him in, to say, get to know me. And he wants to be passionately involved in every detail of us. He wants you to love him freely and to come to him at a much deeper level. And I felt God say, I want to be at that deep level. I want to know everything about you. He wants to get to know you, wants us to have that heart cry. Know me, God. I want you to know me. And I would suggest God needs permission to come into our lives, and he waits for us to ask him. He waits for an invitation. And I was praying about this. I was praying how to share it, really. And I would suggest most of us are starving for God to know us, but terrified to allow him to see what's inside. We keep those flood defences up, don't we? Those areas where the water doesn't flow. We fear God will see those areas that have things in them that you don't wish him to see. That offensive way in me, as David says. The challenge is that we feel God is going to see something deficient in us. There are things you are afraid of him seeing. Those things probably bother you and trouble you. And you don't like them, and you feel he won't like those things about you either. And I think we often try and hide behind good works, saying the right things, even religious verses. So my question is, and I am coming into land a little bit here, does God know you? And that's what I felt God wanted to ask you. Does God know you? Will you take those flood defences down? Will you give him permission to come in and look around? Julian Adams says, we often pray for more of the Holy Spirit. But no, we need to pray, Holy Spirit, have more of me. We often pray for more of the Holy Spirit. But no, we need to pray, Holy Spirit, have more of me. We've been studying Nehemiah, and his name means comforter, which is a name for the Holy Spirit. And when God sees something in me I'd rather not see, or I'd rather he didn't see. For example, I'm going to give you something like impatience. He says, be patient. And I just wanted to encourage you, because this is such a revelation to me and to my heart. The issue is, God is creative. He is a creator God. So as he speaks, he creates. He releases the power of the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And what I could not do a second before he spoke, I can now do through his power. God, when he talks, when he speaks, God creates. God can't speak without creating. And as God sees those rooms and those places in our hearts and in our lives, as you let him in, God will take that chaos, like when the earth was formless and void, and he'll say, let there be light. And he'll separate that light from the darkness, and you will find that the fear that you have, he will recreate in you. That very thing that you thought was useless and dead, or something you don't want people to see, he will recreate it in you and make it beautiful. You'll no longer struggle with those things, because when God moves in, when he speaks, he changes things. You know, in Nehemiah, God achieved in 52 days what was not achieved in 72 years. Imagine that struggle, other things that, you know, you've struggled and struggled and struggled with. God can do it. And I really believe right now is a Nehemiah season. As I said last time I talked, it's a time where we can be transformed, and it's a time of acceleration. I'm going to ask Julian just to play a song. The reason I didn't want you to go into groups is because I really felt that this is a time to actually ask God to come and be with us. And wherever you are, you might want to stand up. You might want to just open your hands. I know sometimes it's hard with young children, but encourage your children. You know, I want all of you children to hear this, that to know me. Ask God, say, Lord, here's my heart. I want you to know everything about me, nothing hidden. I want to lay everything down. I felt God is saying, let me in. Let me look around. I knock at the door. I'm waiting for you to open the door and let me in deeper. And what you fear will be recreated as my light touches it. And as you listen to this, just say, God, I want you to really know me.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. I am found. I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free, you are strong, you are sure.
I am healed, I am free.